T-shirt is actually appropriate. I was planning to do this because we're starting a new series today. It's appropriate for Easter. Hero, God to the rescue. So I figured my Superman shirt would be a good hero moment. Let's open our Bibles. If you've got a Bible or a Bible app, if you don't, steal one from your neighbor. Maybe give it back at the end. That would be nice. But we're going to open our Bibles to John chapter 3. You're going to recognize this scripture, probably. It's the football game scripture. It's the ESPN scripture. John chapter 3. I'm actually going to start reading in verse 14. And we're going to read all the way through 21. But we're going to hone in on John 3, 16 and 17. So John 3, 14, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, says this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I'll tell you what that means in a minute, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now, the writer of this book is referring back to an Old Testament story that happened as the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. And there were snakes among them, literal snakes, not like dirty, rotten people. You snake. No, actual snakes coming among them and biting the people, and people were dying. And God said to Moses, I want you to make an image of a snake, put it up on a pole, and everyone who looks on that will be healed. And why did he do that? I don't know. Why did he pick we're going to put a snake on a pole, and that's what people, you're going to look on at a snake on a pole. Let me just say, I'm not into snakes. I'm not into snake handling. I'm just not a snake fan in any kind of way. But for whatever reason, God said, we're going to use this snake as an example. And when you look at it, you look on this, you're going to be healed. And John says, as Moses lifted up this serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So we see that even back in the Old Testament, God was pointing to something that was going to happen with Jesus. And Jesus was lifted up, and on the third day, he rose again. And today, to this day, all who look upon Jesus, all who look to him to be saved, all who look to him to be healed from this sinful condition that we all have, we look to him and we are saved, and we're actually given eternal life. The moment you believe in Jesus, the moment you put your faith in him and you say, yes, Jesus, you walk into his eternal life. He existed from before the beginning. He has no beginning. I can't understand that. I don't know how that works. Jesus had no beginning and he has no end. He just always has been. That's how God has been. He's always been there. Go back as far as you can think. Go all the way back to the Big Bang. God was already there. Huh? Not the show. Not the show. Although you can go back to that too. That's kind of funny. But you go all the way back as far as you want to go, God's already there. We can go far ahead as we could imagine. God's already there. And the moment you walk into his life in Jesus, you're walking into this eternal life of Christ. Very cool. But how does this happen? This is what we're celebrating today for Easter Sunday. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, there's been all kinds of heroes in the world. Through history, I kind of wanted to start back in the old days. And we've had a movie come out about 6-7 years ago now, 300. Remember this movie called 300? And you've got the Spartans standing up against Xerxes' mighty, mighty army. And this guy looks like a hero. Like, you could just look at a guy like that and you think, I don't know, maybe he's a total jerk. I don't know, but he looks like he means business. Like, this guy's just like, I'm going to get something done. This is going to happen. So Leonidas, he was the king of the Spartan 300 men that stood against this whole mighty, mighty army of Xerxes. And this is what he said, King Leonidas, the world will know that free men stood against a tyrant, that few stood against many, and before this battle was over, even a god king can bleed. That's how Xerxes referred to himself. Leonidas said it, I'm sure, a little more manly even than I did right there. We keep going ahead in history. Some people would say he's an amazing hero. Most Americans would say this. The Brits might not agree, but sorry, Brits. George Washington, the general of the Continental Army, first president of the United States, says this, let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The rest is in the hands of God. These are world heroes that we would look back to. Winston Churchill in World War II. He was the prime minister of the United Kingdom. And I love this one. He says this about their little island. And I don't know if you ever heard the voice of Winston Churchill, but it was kind of this big, low, ugh. And he was this big, gruff guy with his cigar, you know, just, and he would say, we shall defend our island. Whatever the cost may be, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills. We shall never, never, never surrender. That's it. But he also said this, probably, maybe in a slightly different voice. Maybe not, I don't know. My most brilliant achievement was my ability to persuade my wife to marry me. You imagine just sitting down to have breakfast with a guy like that? Would you get me some eggs? Thank you. Guy's intense. And here, we have boatloads of heroes. We won't do all of their quotes. Superman, I'm wearing his shirt today just to honor Superman. He had some really funny quotes. Truth, justice, and the American way. Great. There's your American comic book superhero. John Wayne, American Western movie hero. He says this, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Martin Luther King Jr. says this, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. When life gets hard, that's where you find out what's in somebody. It's not the easy days where we find out how great people are. It's the hard days. And Martin Luther King Jr. said that. Very, very well. There's a couple more that'll pop up there. There you go. Rocky Balboa, his great quote, Adrian! He wasn't known for his brains. He was known for his punching ability. Zorro. I won't have a great one. I mean, what did he say? I'm Zorro. And there you go. Is finally Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. And he just does all kinds of impossible things, so. He has cool toys. He has technology. He's kind of like Batman. He has technology. But guys, the ultimate hero is Jesus. It's Jesus. Here's what Jesus had to say. Luke 4, 18 and 19, and verse 21 also, it records this for us. He said this. He showed up on the scene in a time when there were lots of poor people. When people were sick, they often spent all the money they had trying to have the doctors make them well. But the doctors were very limited in what they were able to do. And Jesus came on the scene and he said this, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That wasn't the norm in that day. Good news was for the rich. The poor were despised because something must be wrong with them. And Jesus says, I'm coming to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he's quoting from Old Testament scripture. And then he has the gall right in the middle of this meeting he's in to stand there and say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Wow, that's kind of bold. Yeah, I'm reading out of the scriptures. I read a prophecy and I say, yeah, I'm it. His story tells us this. Declares that he came to do this, to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10. To destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8, and to usher in a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans 14:17. God came to destroy the works of the enemy, coming to seek and save people that are lost, people that are captive, people that are bound up and stuck in sinful patterns in life. They're stuck in bitterness. They're stuck in just grief. They're stuck in pain. Jesus comes as the hero to say, I'm coming to set you free from all of this and to bring you into a new kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Wow. This is a hero. If he can actually do this, this is somebody I want to follow. This is somebody I want to look to. If what he says he can do, he can do. I want to look to this Jesus. Now, this is how he does it. Not how you would expect. In John 3:16, we're going to look at three little things here. It says, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. What does a hero do? What does a real hero do? A hero comes and loves. Jesus comes as someone who loves the world. In fact, he was known as the friend of sinners. And I almost, this whole series that we're starting today, we're going to do a several week series on hero, the God to the rescue. I almost just called it Jesus, friend of sinners. And I think we're still going to do a series on that because I want to hone in on all the people Jesus loved to hang out with. They're the people that the church people didn't want to hang out with. And Jesus would go hang out with these people. He was actually accused of being a drunk because he hung out with people who had drinking problems. He was accused of being a glutton because he hung out with people that ate too much food and loved to party. Jesus went to a wedding one time where they ran out of wine. And Jesus made gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of wine. I like this Jesus. He would hang out with people. In fact, it says he made the best wine. The wine he made was better than what they started with at the beginning of the wedding. So Jesus was pretty fantastic in all kinds of ways. You got it. Come on. That's pretty cool. I like Jesus. But he comes and he loves. But he didn't just love people like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with this guy. He's kind of cool. I just want to spend some time and love on this guy. Like, man, you're awesome. Jesus would go and hang out with people that hated him. In fact, he went to a cross. And he's hanging on a cross. And he says, Father, forgive them. Amazing. This isn't love on the good day. This isn't love. We can say, man, I could say, I love my kids. I love my wife. It's pretty easy for me to say that. I don't know if, I've had some people that have said really awful things about me. And to be able to say, man, I love those guys. That's exactly what Jesus says. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive that one that they hate me. They despise me. They're doing everything in their life to oppose me. And he says, Father, forgive them. That's loving in the face of difficulty, loving in the face of persecution. Most of us in the U.S. don't really understand persecution, what it means to really suffer for your faith. We go through moments and we're like, I am so persecuted. No, you're not. You're okay. But the hero, Jesus, the hero, I'm not telling you guys, you need to love more. You need to be like Jesus. You need to love better. Jesus actually came and he loves in a way no one else can love. He is a hero like no one else has been or ever will be. This is really God coming to the rescue to do what no one else can do. It's to love the unlovely. It's to love when it's difficult. It's to love in the face of adversity. It's only in him that we're able to do that. Secondly, Jesus is a hero who gives. We keep going. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I've heard all kinds of preachers talk about this, and they've used it for giving messages, why we should give more money. That's great. It definitely reflects God's character. God's a giver. God is extremely generous. Yes, he is. And when we hang out with him, we hang out with Jesus, we become a more generous people. Yeah. But when Jesus comes to give and the Father comes to love the world, it says he gave them lots and lots and lots of money. No. He gave his only son. When God the Father wants to show you, if you ever question, does God really love me? Does God really care? This isn't the dad who you walk up to and here comes your son and yeah, flip you $20, go off, go do something, here's some money. The Father gives his very best. He gives his son. He gives Jesus, the eternal Son of God. That's hard. We find out, you can go back through scripture, you find out that this plan existed from the foundations of the world. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit had a plan from the foundation of the world that the Son was going to come and live and die and take the punishment for all of the sins of the nations, all of the sins you've ever committed or thought, all the wicked things you've thought. They had a plan for you, not just from before you were born, but before the world was formed. They had this worked out. But Jesus left. He left the riches and the royalty of heaven to come and serve the world. That's fairly giving. That's fairly generous. That's fairly investing for him to say, I'm going to leave heaven, perfection, where I am God and I am worshiped. And I'm coming down to be born as a little baby who will wear 2,000-year-ago version of diapers. I was going to say diapers. Cloths. I will learn to walk. I will learn to talk. I will do all these things as a little baby. I will grow up and be despised by men and suffer and die on behalf of these people who despise me. That's fairly generous. That's actually fairly heroic. I've never heard of another hero like this, because there isn't one. We've got examples. It turned into a big political deal last summer when our embassy in Libya was attacked, overrun, and the ambassador was killed. Several special forces officers, military personnel were killed, and they actually defied orders and ran into trouble and gave their lives trying to save the ambassador. And they gave. They gave their very lives. Think of even in the scripture, Moses. Maybe you've seen the movie Prince of Egypt. Whether or not you've ever read the story in the Bible, if you've seen the movie Prince of Egypt, it gets this feel of a Moses who was raised as in the royal family of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that he forsook the riches and the royalty and the wealth, the life he had as a royal in Egypt. History actually tells us that he was an Egyptian general and accomplished some amazing military victories. And he abandoned all of that to give himself to saving the people of God. Again, pointing the way to this Jesus who would leave the riches and royalty of heaven to come and serve the world. And he said this in John 6:38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The Father gave, Jesus gave of himself. This is a hero who gives, not just when it's easy, but when it's hard. Thirdly, what does a hero do? He saves the day, right? Or she saves the day. A heroine would save the day. This is what heroes do. In verse 17, it says this, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is God's plan, is that the world is saved through Jesus. This is the ultimate hero challenge, the ultimate Mission Impossible challenge here. Sorry, Ethan Hunt. Your technology, everything you've got is awesome. This is the ultimate. The ultimate. It's not like anyone ever watched American Gladiator? It was like a game show, but you physically come to compete. Now they've got even cooler, newer versions of it. The old version, they all dressed up like really bad versions of Captain America. But you would come and you would compete, and it was like you had to beat the gladiators who were the professional bodybuilders and athletes that were employed by the show, and you had to come in as your, I'm a history teacher by day, and I go to the gym in the evening, and maybe, occasionally. These guys would come in and try to beat the gladiators, and maybe if you got through, like, yeah, you were the American gladiator. Good job to you. This is the ultimate challenge. Here it is. Here's the challenge. Number one, every hero's got to do this, right? Defeat the bad guy. You got to defeat the bad guy. But how's Jesus going to do it? Not the way you would think. He's got to live the perfect life. Challenge number one, live the perfect life. Sinless, flawless, perfect life from day one to the end. Well, here's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. For he, meaning the Father, made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus did this. He came and he lived a perfect life. Scripture records for us, he knew no sin, which is the only way he could take on your sin at the cross, because he wasn't dying for his own wrongdoing. He was dying for yours and for mine. Okay, second challenge, be the perfect sacrifice. So again, you have to have, we sang about it today, we are more than conquerors through your sinless blood. The pattern had been set up. All the big story of Scripture was when sin occurs, that's anything that is contrary to the will of God. When that occurs, there's one payment. Life. Blood. Blood must be shed. Jesus comes, and they actually use this analogy talking about Jesus as the Lamb of God. Because that was the animal that was used in sacrifice, not the only animal. Goats and doves and cattle and other things were used. But ultimately for sin, this lamb, Jesus came as the perfect lamb, spotless lamb of God. And what he did is he came and he canceled our debt of sin, the debt of sin that you outside of Jesus owe. That me and I outside of Jesus owe a debt of sin. And we can kind of go back and forth. Well, I was born sinful. I wasn't born sinful. Scripture says you were born sinful. But maybe you don't even agree with that. You go, I don't know. I don't know about that. Really, as a little baby? Seriously? Well, tell me this. Since you've not been a little baby, have you been sinless? How have you done with that? You ever had any motives that weren't great? Ever have any time you weren't completely 100% transparent and honest? Ever have a thought that, like, you know, like we could try to, well, it's just a thought that came through and come on. No one's ever had a bad thought. That makes us sinful. Jesus came. It was not sinful. So he could be the perfect sacrifice. Colossians 2:14 says this, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. There's a debt. There's a sin debt, a record of debt that stands against every person in the world. But Jesus comes to cancel that, zero it out. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. This is the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. It was our sins, our record. Just imagine you have this like an accountant's log of all of the debt of sin that you would have, all of the things that you'd ever done. And Jesus, as he's nailed to the cross, as he's nailed to it, your debt is being nailed to that cross so that you never have to pay it. It has been paid. Whoa! I don't know about you, that makes me say thank you. Thank you. Now, lastly, okay, so he has to be the perfect sacrifice, which means he has to die. This is slightly different than some of our hero stories. Usually in Mission Impossible or in pick your Marvel or DC comic book hero, the hero does everything possible not to die because they're going to have another mission that they have to do next week. Jesus has to come, live the perfect life, be the perfect sacrifice, and die. And thirdly, this is it, ultimate hero challenge, rise from the dead. You don't see that one much. I don't know of any of the heroes through history who rise from the dead very well. Take this on. This is the perfect comeback. It's better than anything Rocky Balboa ever did. Any fight he ever had where he's on the mat, you think he's down, he might even be dead. But no. And he comes back and he manages to win and then look for Adrian again. He actually comes back. This is the perfect hero comeback. Luke 24, 5 and 6 says this. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. This is an angel speaking. He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise? This was the plan from the beginning. And I've heard people say the fact that Jesus would have to go to the cross and die, that this would be the way. This is like supernatural cosmic child abuse for the Father to require this of his Son. Remember, this was a plan that they had together from the beginning. And that's thrown out by serious thinkers in the world. This cannot be because God could never be this. This is a child abuser. But Jesus is the one telling everyone, this is going to happen. This is what needs to happen. And I'm going to die. But that's not the end. What's the real point? I'm going to rise again from the dead, proving that we beat the bad guy. Proving that the devil's power over you and over me through sin has been defeated. Cool. And this is what Jesus said. I'll just remind you. Verse 16, John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is God's plan for us, to provide eternal life to all who look on him and believe in him. So today we're celebrating this amazing, perfect hero story. So there it is on the screen. What are we celebrating? That Jesus loves, he gives, and he saves the day. Now this is cool. This is different than Zorro, different than John Wayne, or I think of one that I watched as a kid. This movie, it was an old Western called Shane. Did anybody ever see Shane? A couple of people have seen Shane. The most depressing ending. And it's one of those where the heroes come in, he's kind of saved this old Western town, and this little boy, Shane, has become his hero and his good friend. And at the end of it, you see Shane riding off into the sunset. You know, he's riding away slowly on his horse. Da-dung, da-dung. And the little boy going, Shane, come back, Shane. You know, it's like, wow, I'm so glad I wasted all that time watching this movie. To watch the hero ride away. And that's what the heroes do, right? That's what John Wayne does, right? At the end of the movie, he goes and he rides off into the sunset. Or pick your old Western hero, Gene Autry or one of those guys. Unlike them, Jesus does not just ride off into the sunset to leave the rescued on their own. Now, he does ascend to heaven, victorious over sin and death and hell, but he promises his presence will always be with us. So this Jesus is not just to be remembered and imitated, but to be personally a part of our lives. This is great. This is where the real hero work, like where the rubber hits the road. This isn't the hero who rides in, does the hard thing, and then leaves and doesn't have to deal with real relationship with real people afterwards. It's like the big hero, like all the dating movies you'll see, and the guy, and he's like super hunky, and he's just amazing. And then, like, at the end of the movie, you think, okay, so they made it through whatever their hard thing was. Well, now the gal's going to have to get up with this guy tomorrow and the next day and the next day when he's got bedhead and morning breath. Jesus doesn't abandon you for your bedhead and your morning breath and everything that is still rough, the rough edges about you. Jesus promises, I've saved you, I've rescued you, but I'm going to be with you all the way. Isn't that cool? Very cool. You're never alone. Your hero is always with you. Life in Christ, with Christ, is available now. Huge value for us as a people. As Grace Church Spokane, we very much value the presence of God with us. Not just some truths to be believed, but a relationship to be enjoyed. So here's the final recap. This hero God, Jesus, the ultimate hero, he came to seek and save that which was lost. Who is that? That's you and that's me. He came to rescue us from death. And let's click that next. Not just from death, but to bring us into abundant life. John 10:10 says this, the devil, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have abundant life. They may have life, have it to the full. He came to rescue us from our own sinfulness, setting us free to live a God-honoring life. This hero, Jesus, actually sets you free from the power of sin and death that keeps you from honoring God, sets you free to be able to live a life that does honor God. When he rose from the dead, breaking the power of sin and death in your life, He set you free to be able to honor God. So he came, lastly, he came to rescue you and us from isolation, reconciling us to his Father and to each other. God's intent for you is to live a life reconciled with God and reconciled with people. This is a pretty amazing hero. There is no one like Jesus. There's no one. I don't think anyone else has ever really claimed to be like Jesus. It's amazing. And he wants to be your hero. Not just a hero, not just a hero of the world in big nebulous terms, but your hero, your savior, your rescuer, your redeemer. It means the one who buys you back. That's who God wants to be for you. A very personal hero. If you're willing, let's just bow our heads and look to him. Jesus, we really do look to you today on this day where we celebrate what you have done for us. We celebrate your victory. God, I pray right now you take that from a big general sense to a very personal sense. God, you came to rescue me. You came to set me free to live for you. You came to change my life, to change my heart, to enable me to honor you. You came to give me everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus, that in you, when I get to the end of this life and my body gives out and I die, that just as you were raised from the dead, I too will be raised to new life, everlasting life with you. And Jesus, thank you that that life actually can begin right now. Right now. So Jesus, I look to you. You might want to just pray this in your own heart to him. Jesus, I look to you today. And I recognize I need a hero. I need God to rescue me because I can't do this myself. But Jesus, you said if we look to you, we would not perish, but have everlasting life. And I look to you today. Jesus, I want to turn from my own ways to yours. I want to follow you. I want to live life with you and to honor you. Jesus, would you be the Lord of my life? Would you be my Savior, my hero? Lord, your word says that if we believe in our heart that you were raised from the dead and we confess with our mouths that your Lord will be saved. It's Romans 10:9. God, thank you for that. So God, thank you for salvation today. Thank you for redemption in you today. Thank you for life today. This Easter 2013, we celebrate you. We celebrate your victory. We love you, Jesus. Amen.